Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 134 for Monday, July 27th, 2020.
This week on the Two Bobs, we don't remember whether we talked about opening day or beer first, so we're going to do a beer slash opening day, Major League Baseball opening day. And then we're going to talk about, we're going to make some COVID jokes. Why not?
Because there's nothing funny about it, but sometimes there is.
I think COVID's hilarious.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
And this week's crazy news, we're going to talk about a property line dispute. Why does that say make a protest? What the fuck?
We're going to make protest.
Insomniabilism.
I didn't do that.
A mask protest. Sex toy swiper. A canine career. And a garden gnome.
Oh, shit. We're here again.
Yeah.
Took a
week
off.
It's hot as shit.
Yeah. Oh my God. I feel like I can't even complain. Like we had this streak of just 90 plus degree days for like a couple of weeks. You know, I think one time it actually hit 100 for just like a minute, but then it went back down. But you guys are just getting the upper 90s is tough.
Yeah. And the storms have been crazy, and the heat, the humidity just makes you just want to stay in the shower because as soon as you get out, you start sweating again. You feel gross. You go outside, you come back. And Ben, who's not really a shower taker, he's up to three a day now. If he's got almost. Sometimes he has taken three. He's got baseball camp he goes to, which is inside like this warehouse. So he's done with that. It gets hot. Then he has practice at 6. So he'll usually, if he's hot, he'll take a shower because he's sweaty, and then when he gets back he'll take another one. So I know that's two, but there was a couple nights where he took three and he's just like, this feels good, because you're just miserable walking around with sweaty clothes on. Even if you put something dry on, it just transfers through that, and that's wet after an hour.
Yeah, I know how it is. I mean, I'm a guy, I feel like I could be winter outside and I sweat, so I mean So I understand you add heat to it, you know. Man, it gets hot. You know, what are you gonna do though? You know what?
Yeah.
You know what always cools me down a little bit though?
Huh?
Some beer.
Hey, bartender, another beer.
Did I hop into the drop too quickly?
Yeah. I don't know. You caught me off guard. Yeah. Well, I was just gonna say that. The Nats are playing. I'm a little bit upset. They're down 3-1 to the Yankees, and we're not really, you know, rivals of the Yankees because they're in a completely different division. But I don't know. It's all right. Yeah, they're in a different league, you know, American League, National League. So, but you want to win your opening game.
Yeah,
especially when nobody's there.
No, are you excited though that you guys get to feature a designated hitter every game? National League finally. But now it took a pandemic and a shortened season to make it happen. But National League has designated DHs now.
We'll see. I mean, our pitchers tend to hit very well, or fairly well anyway. So I like to see them get up there, and it's exciting when your pitcher gets up there and hits a home run. But obviously, it doesn't happen that often. But the guy we got up there now is DH is he's a monster. I'll send you a picture of him. We got him from Milwaukee, and he's the size. Well, he's a very large man. I'll put it that way. He's built like the Michelin man.
Oh, nice. So you got him from Milwaukee, huh?
Milwaukee. Yeah. After beating them last year on our way to the World Series, we got them. And then we also got the reliever, for better or for worse, the reliever from the Astros after kicking their ass in the World Series.
Yeah. I hope he does all right, considering there's nobody banging on trash cans in the back room. But I mean,
No trash cans here.
No trash cans. That's good. Yeah. You know, the Tigers got just a bunch of young kids. I mean, but we're in their rebuilding phase right now. And so We have some nice young talent. I think a lot of them, some of them, I think are going to end up in the rotation at some point during the season. And, you know, we'll just kind of see how the Tigers do with this young blood and everybody's nice and healthy. That's one of the things that the Tigers have struggled with, and especially as some of our, you know, like Miguel Cabrera, he's past his prime, but he's still a batter to be nervous about if you're pitching against him. But at the same time, he's not what he was. But a lot of that's just because the guy's been so injury prone. So, you know, we have a really healthy team. We have Michael Fulmer, who was a great pitcher. Definitely will be an ace pitcher at some point. He is gigantic. Oh boy. not Michael Fulmer, but your DH. And so he's pitching now for the first time since 2018, and I think, you know, they're not playing him too deep into the game right now, but I think as the season progresses and he continues to work his arm out, I think they'll start pitching him deeper into the games, and we'll see how he does. And that's about all I can hope for the Tigers this year, is that maybe, you know, it would be great if we didn't finish last in Major League Baseball.
Maybe with only 60 games, you have a chance not to.
You know, we've always played the first half of the season better than the second half. Yeah. So I feel like since we have less than a half of a season this year, maybe we'll do all right. But again, my goal for the Tigers is not finish last in baseball. And just, you know, hopefully be really surprised by some of the young players. But we have, you know, we're starting our season tomorrow against the Reds. We have Boyd pitching, and Boyd was our strongest pitcher last year. Did pretty well. I think he was six in ERA in the American League. And so he's a pretty good pitcher. And so we have him pitching tomorrow, and it's an evening game too. So I'll be able to come home from work and make Kelly watch it, because the kids are going to be at my in-law's house. So, you know, pizza and beer and baseball, and Kelly will love the first two and hate the third, but that's all right. Anyway, as you know, we got off track, there is beer. I played the drop. Yeah. When does that ever made us stop talking about whatever we just wanted to talk about right at that moment? You know,
we've tried to have order, but
we do.
Sometimes it just doesn't work.
Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes we just we don't want it to work sometimes.
Right.
You know, if we really wanted it to work that badly, we would be talking about beer right now, not baseball. But anyway, switching over to beer.
Yeah, let's do it.
I have a beer that I have fallen in love with me today. And it's one I tried. Kelly and I went to an engagement party. We're standing up in a wedding. Kelly's cousin, who's, you know, we're good friends with, and her fiance, we're standing up in their wedding. So we're super excited about that. And and by the way, he listens to the Two Bobs too. He's been working at home for COVID. And so Dave, you know, every time I talk to him, he's like, yeah, I was listening to this episode and I was rolling laughing. And so, you know, he enjoys listening to the podcast. So I know he'll be listening to this, but anyway, he had this beer, Founders Marvel Roast. And you know how my love for Founders in general.
Everybody.
But, you know, even that being said, you know, some Founders I love more than others. And this is one that I just absolutely love. So he had some of these. I tried one. I was like, oh, my gosh. So when I was at the grocery store, Bush's Market over by work week.
15th of Mound.
They had some. No, that's not. that's Napa Valley. And I don't work at 15th of Mound. Please, no. Anyways, I was at Bush's and I found a 4-pack, and I've already had 3 of them, not today, but in the last several days. And so I purposely
saved one
so we could have it on the episode. So it's their Marvel Roast. It's an Imperial Golden Ale with coffee, cocoa nibs, vanilla, and milk sugar. And it says here, it's 8% alcohol by volume, 20 IBUs. It's available July through September. So it's seasonal. It says, take in the wonder that is the marvelous ahem. I don't know if it. I feel like I overdid the H on that one. Like
ahem.
Ahem. Take in the wonder that is the marvelous Marvel Roast, new addition to the coffee beer lineup. We started with an Imperial Golden Ale and brewed it with coffee, vanilla, and cocoa nibs. But it doesn't end there, folks. Milk sugar added during the brewing process. process lends a smooth and sweet finish. Make ahem. I don't know why I did ahem. I feel like if you just say it like a word, like ahem, it doesn't sound right. So I tried to make it sound like I was clear in my throat, and it just came out like I was speaking Arabic. Making this a delicious... I can't fucking talk tonight. Making this a delicious treat reminiscent of your favorite iced coffee drink. And honestly, when you, the aroma that it emits, it does, you get the coffee, but you get the chocolate, the vanilla. It reminds me.
It doesn't look like you would get that though.
No, because it's not dark. It's
yellow.
It's a golden colored beer. It has such a rich flavor, which is crazy to me. And it tastes kind of like a Starbucks, like an iced mocha or something that you get that just has that really strong chocolate presence. So it smells like really good. And then when you drink it, well, I'm going to have some more and I'll tell you because I haven't had any today. I don't want to be outdated my information.
It doesn't say I can get it. Limited distribution. None in Virginia. Although what's weird is it doesn't. Maybe I can. Maybe it's limited distribution in Maryland, but because Michigan isn't even colored in, but it's gray, which is the same as Virginia. So maybe I'll be able to get it.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the information's not good. I mean, it's a Michigan brewery, so we can get it in Michigan. I bought it, and anyway, boy, is that a really good beer. You get all those flavors. So you get the coffee, the vanilla, the coconut nibs. It's a nice smooth finish. With the sugar, and so it's sweet and delicious, but not overbearing. It's not like one of those where I'm like, man, I couldn't drink more than one of these because I feel like I'm just like drinking a pie. Right. You get some really good flavor, but at the end of the day, you know you're drinking a beer. And
I just looked at my picture on Untappd.
Oh yeah, I didn't purposely do that either.
What I was doing.
It just kind of happened that way.
Too funny.
I know. That's why I was laughing while I was checking it on the tap. But anyway, phenomenal beer. I rated it a 5, which, you know, founders, I feel like they always creep up into those like mid-4s anyway, except for a couple that have been a 5. This is a total 5. The first time I drank it and checked it on Untappd, I rated it a 4.75, but I mean, drinking it again and a couple times after that, I'm just like, wow, this is such a good beer. I can't deduct any points. So I rated it a 5. Delicious. It's from Founders, my favorite brewery. I'm not even going to begin to go through all the times we've had Founders on the show because it would just take a really long time. But if you get this beer, especially if you like a nice sweet beer that has some good flavor that's not too heavy, it's phenomenal. Perfect balance of flavor, and it's really good.
Now, you change it from a 4.75 to a 5. If you had Untappd Premium, would you have given it like a 4.85 or 4.975?
I want to go 4.875. You know, no, I mean, maybe 4.1116.
It's a full 5 then. Okay,
it's a full 5. Like I said, I can't deduct any points for this beer. It's really, really good. And you should definitely get some. And it, again, you don't feel like
you're... I just checked.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But if you're listening to the show and you can get some, you should. Because it doesn't taste... Again, it's not... You get all the flavor of a really good, like, Imperial. Like a porter. But it's not. It's lighter. It's really good.
I don't know. It's one of those... It looks deceiving by being yellow that for it to have those flavors is... Now, does it have any of the bite of it, like the ale? Or it's still... It's got to have a little bit.
No, not really. You don't get that. You don't get the bite. You know, it's very smooth and very easy to drink.
Huh?
Yeah. It's very confusing to the palate if you look at the color. Like when I first poured it into a glass for the first time, I'm like, wow, that doesn't look right. But it's really good.
I've had ales like that where they have more of that porter style to it, but they still have that ale. You know, they still have that punt. So And unfortunately, according to either Untappd or the founder's website, I can't get it anywhere near me. So I'll just have take your word for it. Maybe find something else that's close enough to it.
And next week, I have another one from Founders, by the way, that is only available in Michigan. So,
damn it.
I don't like it as much as this one, though. Kelly loves it.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so it's...
so she can have the rest.
It's like one of those... that one is going to be rated pretty low for me for Founders. Okay. But it's, you know, it's a Michigan-only beer. And so I figured I'd buy some. And Kelly liked it. So, we'll take that what it's worth, you know.
All right.
Sweet. What do you got this week?
I'm going to go back to my friends at Sycamore because I've had them the last couple episodes, and I just happened to buy out everything the store had since I liked the first one. But this week, I've got their Rainbow Dust IPA, and last week, I think it was the Morning Candy, and the one before that was the Beach Shack Blonde, and that was the Blonde Ale that had the coffee and the vanilla in it, and those actually had it, but it still had a bit of that ale in it, too, that it had that bite, but it still had the coffee. So probably not quite as good. I think I rated it 3.75. Not quite as good as a 5 like you've got, but that's what I've liked so far. But again, it's the Rainbow Dust IPA from Sycamore Brewing, which is bursting with 6 rare hop varietals from around the world. Bright, tropical, pure magic in a can. Rainbow Dust IPA is a special IPA we brew only once a year. Get it while it lasts. India Pale Ale 4-pack of 16-ounce can, 7.1 alcohol by volume. I'm going to give it a sniff to see if I can smell any of the tropical fruit and then taste it and see if I can pick any of those out.
Smell it.
It does. It smells sweet. I'll taste it and see.
That's what she said.
If you're lucky. It's got the IPA to it. It's not overly hoppy, so it doesn't have too much bitterness to it, which is good. I like the sweetness. It's just the right mix of everything. I rated it a 4 in Untappd, so it would be one. So far out of the Sycamore that I've had, it would be my favorite of the 3. I did like the Beach Shack a good bit because it had some unique variety flavors in there, but this one, again, I think just puts it up. I like the sweetness to it. I like the fruit. Not overbearing on the bitterness. So, again, that's the Rainbow Dust IPA from Sycamore Brewing, which is, if I remember right, based out of Georgia. Oh, no, North Carolina. Huh. Close enough.
Nice. Out
of here. But, anywho, get it if you can try it.
You can. Get it if you can try it. Try it if you can get it.
Try it if you can get it. Whatever. Yeah. You know, it's been a long week.
It has been.
And we still got another day.
Tomorrow's Friday,
It is.
I mean, although when you're listening to this podcast, well, it may be tomorrow will be Friday, but you know.
I thought, you know, and you still actually go into the office, but I don't. And I thought that in the course of 4 months, I would have figured out what day it is, and I still struggle with that. But one of these days, it'll all fall into place again.
Well, luckily, you have me to keep you honest.
Well, yeah, I knew we were going to record on Thursday, and it was coming up, and I just knew I was going to miss it. And you'd be like, all right, where are you? So I had to make sure that I kept an honest track of when the days were, so I didn't let you down.
No, I really appreciate that. And, and thank you for your flexibility. We were going to record, we've been kind of recording on Fridays. And and that would normally have worked, but like I said, the kids are going to my in-laws' house for the night. So I think that if I were to record when Kelly and I had like the little bit of alone time we get, she might murder me.
Well, you're going to have, I mean, not that I'm not missing my opening day, but looking at the 4-1, I mean, it's still early. It's still 6 inning, but you're going to miss that. And you would miss the pizza and the beer to sit and talk with me, but I guess you'd still have the beer. So I don't mind moving it today. It gives me my Friday as well, so it's all good.
I want pizza so bad. Maybe tomorrow. Good. I was thinking, you ever had Costco pizza?
I have. Costco makes good pizza.
Costco does make. I was thinking maybe.
I love their hot dogs. I get the big old hot dog and I put the hot mustard on it, and I always ask for the sauerkraut. It's good shit. I don't like that they have Pepsi there though. That's the only problem.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not a Pepsi.
We've talked in exhaustively about how you don't like Pepsi.
I don't like a lot of things, but I especially don't like coronavirus, Rob. There's nothing funny.
You
about
don't.
That.
Well, no. I mean, you know, I'm
glad I don't have it. That's the only part I like.
I'm pretty good at making light of lots of terrible things. And so, so, you know, COVID's definitely one of those, which is why I sent this to you today, because I thought, you know, we've kind of been touching on coronavirus in on the show. And, you know, I thought maybe it'd be fun to make fun of it or make light of it this week. You know, so if you've been impacted by coronavirus or, you know, you or your loved ones, maybe you skip this part, but we're still going to talk about it because I don't give a shit. Should I say that?
You did. Our friends at Board. Huh?
I don't know what.
Our friends at Board Panda have come up with 30 of the best jokes, I guess, which come from tweets and Facebook posts. We're not going to do all 30 of them because we can always put the link in there and you can do it your own damn selves, you lazy bastards. But we'll give you the top 10 of those. They're all pretty, well, most of them are pretty funny. I didn't read them all because I wanted it to be somewhat of a surprise.
And neither did I. I did the first couple. You know, I don't read any of this shit. I look at the headline. Right. I'm like, yeah, that looks like it'll probably be funny.
We'll try it.
Yeah.
We'll try anything once.
So we're going to do the top 10. We start at 10 yeah, and then we go. And I do the evens as always.
Right. Because I'm on.
And number 10 says, well played, cinema theater. Well played. And it says there's a picture of a cinema. And it says, now playing everywhere, Home Alone.
Yeah. Everybody's stuck at home.
Hopefully not alone, though. No. Although I wouldn't mind alone sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's people out there that unfortunately do live by themselves. And they've had to have the extra quarantine, although there's certainly times when it probably sounds like a good thing, but not all the time. No. I don't know if I could do 4 months of it.
That's what they have Tinder for.
4 days certainly would be fine.
Yeah. Get on Friendster. Does Friendster still exist?
You didn't say Grindr.
Get on MySpace. Number 9.
8th day of self-isolation. It's like Vegas in my house. We're losing money by the minute. Cocktails are acceptable at any hour. Nobody knows what time it is.
Oh, it's true. It's very true.
Get back to Vegas. That was me. We were just talking about that the other day.
God, I miss Vegas.
Get back to Vegas.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun going last year. And then this year. Well, this year we bought a house and we had other vacations planned that have all been canceled. So, like, we weren't going to go to Vegas this year, but I'm always thinking, man, I want to go to Vegas again. Maybe not go in the dead of summer, though. Like, we've always gone, like, we went in June, July.
It's the desert.
Yeah, I know. We should go like March might be nice. Anyway,
yeah,
October. Number 8, be like Darth Vader. Number 8, be like
person,
Darth Vader.
Woman, man, camera, TV.
Yep. By the way, we're not any of the words that were on the cognitive test that Donald Trump talks so proudly about how we pass. Number 8, be like Darth Vader, wear a mask, doesn't visit his son and daughter, socially and emotionally distant, follows orders.
That's good. Yeah. Number 7, I think we've all seen this in many ways, regardless of what side you're on. I swear we're fighting two pandemics, COVID-19 and stupidity. From it's Sir true. Mo.
And stupidity is winning. Yeah. Let's see here. Number 6, my roommate Jillian is gone for a few months and my cat adores her. Autumn doesn't understand why Jillian won't come out of her room, so she's been leaving presents outside Jillian's door. Every morning I wake up to this, and it's a closed door with a bunch of cat toys sitting on the ground in front of it.
Oh, poor cats. Yeah. Number 5, Eli says, whenever I make coffee, my cat will stand on the counter next to me and wait to be poured his own little cup of milk so we can have our drinks side by side. And that's something else you see too, that the dogs, specifically earlier, they were very surprised and very confused that people were home all the time. They used to being by themselves for people that don't work from home, and the animals had to really adapt to having people around all the time. So this cat took it, I guess took advantage of it and decided, hey, I'll come chill with you while you have your coffee.
That's what cats do. They're soulless. Yeah. Number 4, for those who wanted a world with no vaccines, here's a world without one vaccine.
One we need. Number 3, and I've seen this one's pretty good. Stephen King tweeted a photo of a red balloon coming out of a storm drain, which if you're familiar with the Pennywise from It, and put a roll of toilet paper there as bait, which back in the early days, back in March when this particular tweet was posted, toilet paper was nowhere to be found.
No. So the question is how desperate would you have to be to go up to the storm grate with the toilet paper sitting right in front of it with the red balloon coming out of it?
I think most people would do it, especially back then.
Well, if you got poop on your person. And, okay. Number two, feeling guilty about your kids watching too much TV? Just mute it and put on the subtitles on. Boom. Now they're reading.
That's true. I've done that before. Number one, I think is pretty good. And I could see this being both of our houses. I made this mistake of telling my husband an early symptom of COVID is loss of smell. He's taking a passing gas in my vicinity. And then when I react, informing he is merely helping perform a health check. He taught the children the same technique and I may divorce him. Although we probably talk about it, I don't pass gas in front of anybody, Rob.
Oh. Yeah, totally. I don't either.
I've done it once in front of Ben. He thought it was the funniest thing. And then when he told Melissa about it, I denied it. Like, nope, it wasn't me.
Oh, shit. We fart all the time here.
I think I've let a couple go that I think maybe have been heard when I thought they were going to be quiet, and I don't think it really was.
What's great is as long as you and Melissa have been married together, you still like have that like, you know, that whole like, you know, I don't want to fart in front of each other and stuff like that. Like Kelly and
We
were together like a week and we were already past that.
We had just started, shit in your eye.
We had to start. I might have farted on the first date just to let her know what she had coming.
That's right. No surprises here.
No, I got it from the dinner table. I'm like, hey, I gotta go take a shit. I was about to think a little came out on that last one.
I'm not sure if you cooked this all the way, but I'm getting ready to go unleash some poo zoo out here in the toilet, or poo soup. I think I
listen.
Poop soup.
This has been a great date. I really enjoy spending time with you. I gotta go blow the bathroom up though at the Olive Garden because I think it might have been something. It's gonna be a while. If you want to go ahead and just pay the bill, I'll meet you out at the car.
Olive Garden, don't do that to you. That sounds really good right now. We haven't been out very much. So, no. And eating in's been good. I mean, we've saved a lot of money, but I don't know. I'm ready to just go out and have fun.
I feel like we haven't saved. Well, first off, we haven't saved money. We've spent a shit ton of money moving.
Yeah, you got a different situation than me.
But I mean, even just from a food standpoint, because for the longest time, I mean, we DoorDashed so much.
Oh, that'll get you.
Like, and I'll even be at work now, and I'm still like in the DoorDash mode. So I'll be at work, and I'll be super busy. I'm like, yeah, let's just DoorDash some sushi or something. And
yeah, it takes 2 seconds. Office.
Yeah, it's nice. Although, kind of a funny thing. This happened the other day. I DoorDashed some food to my office, and it gave me a little message that says, you know, your Dasher, whatever her name is approaching with your food. I said, okay. And then I'm looking for in the lobby of the building to see somebody walk in. Nobody walks in. I get another message. Your food's been delivered. Then I look at the text message and the Dasher has left the food on the ground in the front entrance of the building. Just left it on the ground there, which is really weird.
Wasn't like coming in.
Well, yeah, but it's just very weird because I'm like, I've had DoorDash several times and they come in, they're wearing masks and gloves and stuff like that. I've never had anybody just leave it in the front entrance of the building that is accessible to the public. But
so this is probably the same gloves that she wore all week, touching everybody's food, which is probably. That always freaks me out when I go to the drive-thru and they'll hand me my drink and I touch the glove by accident. You know, that who knows how long they've been wearing those? Hopefully they toss them. But you never know.
Yeah, hopefully they do. And hopefully they don't like touch their face or anything with it. Yeah.
I pump some sanitizer in my mouth, kind of like gargle it in there. Just
Trump
in case.
Says you can ingest it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I take hand sanitizer intravenously.
Let's go.
Exactly.
Well, shit. It's time for crazy news, Rob. Oh, but I meant to say I had it because we didn't really say it. We normally do, but. We'll post a link to that in the show notes if you want to read the rest of them. If you thought those were funny at all, then you can read the rest of them, you know, on your
own. I thought they were clever. Coronavirus is funny.
As long as it's ever somebody else. As long as it doesn't come inside my house, it's hilarious.
COVID-19 is the most hilarious of the COVIDs.
Yeah. Can't wait till COVID-21. Anyhow. All right. Well, shit. You ready for some crazy news?
Faster.
We got a good ones this week.
Sexier COVID. Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's go. Person, woman, man.
TV.
Camera.
Oh, TV.
TV.
Camera.
Oh, so you failed.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
Those weren't even the right words. If you read the test, it's like, you know, bird, red. It's all kind of weird shit.
I know red is the last word.
Looking around at things that were around him and saying, oh, this is what it was. I don't know. Although, honestly, I don't want to say this out loud because then people might make him do it. But I don't know that Joe Biden could do any of those either. But at this point, I don't care.
I'm just hoping that Joe.
You can put a cardboard really cutout in there. I don't give a shit. Cardboard cutout. That'd be fine.
I'm a little bit afraid that if Joe Biden does win, that he won't survive all 4 years. So I'm really hoping he picks a really, really good vice president. You know.
Canada won't let us in, Rob, so we kind of need him to win.
He's like an older Bernie Sanders.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's causing me anxiety just thinking about it. So why don't we visit our friends here in Maine.
Oh, Maine?
Yeah.
If we've been to Maine, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I think Maine was actually where the... going back, and maybe it wasn't, but I'm pretty sure Maine was the shed that got stolen. They put it in the back of the truck with Gillian.
Oh, Gillian. Yeah, that's pretty right. Sure that was Maine. From the Press Herald.
Yeah, Portland, Maine. Portland Press Herald. Yeah,
that's right.
It was Maine.
That's right. Good old Gillian.
Our first visit to Maine, and we got to meet Gillian. Now we're in Dover, Foxtrot. Alexa,
Gillian Graham.
How far is Dover, Maine from Portland, Maine?
From Portland, Dover Foxcroft is 128.8 miles away by car.
Oh, okay, thank you. So they might know Gillian.
They may.
She's probably been there to buy Pyrex.
Vintage Pyrex.
To put her weed in.
She doesn't want any of that new Pyrex shit. She wants collector's item Pyrex.
Keeps the weed safe.
Exactly. Got to keep it fresh. Keeps it fresh. What if you could? Can you freeze your weed? Do you freeze your weed?
I don't freeze anything, Rob. My freezer was broken.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Is your ice maker still leaking?
Yeah, well, it's been working okay. It's been a little slow, but it did actually leak the other day a little bit. So it's a tense subject here because we spent $300 to get it fixed, and now it's leaking a little bit. But I think it'll be fine. If I just don't look in there, it's not broken.
You should burn your house down. Just get a new one.
I think so. I don't want to move. All right, are you taking this one or me?
I don't know. You're the one that did the lineup. You tell me.
All right, I'll do it here. Maine.
All right.
Man.
You got this.
He's a man. He lives in Maine. He sawed his neighbor's garage in half. I'm in a boundary. God damn it.
Let's go.
Maine man saw his neighbor's garage in half amid boundary dispute by Ernie Clark.
Oh.
Dover, Foxcroft, Maine. A man who cut his neighbor's garage in half with a sawzall was on friendly terms with the man who built the structure, just not with everyone who lived on the property after he passed away. Gabriel Braun used a land surveys demarcation between the two lots as a guide to remove half of the building sitting on his property when a dispute over the boundary line boiled over. Tracy Braun said Thursday that her husband's actions on the day after Memorial Day marked the latest, and they hope the final step of an often contentious relationship between her family, others in the neighborhood, and various inhabitants of 148 Grove Street in recent years. So it sounds like they're the problem. They're the ones that can't get along with anybody. They're just going to go saw somebody's shit in half. Braun and her family moved back to Dover Foxcroft in 2012. It's about 125 miles away from Portland, to live in the home where her husband had grown up at 140 Grove Street. A lot of detail in this. A property that once included the 0.23 acres just to the south is now 148 Grove Street, if you're keeping track.
I need like a schematic or something.
There's a lot of detail where a small home was added several decades ago. The Bruns' relationship with their neighbors was fine. Of course it was. Until the former owner of 148 Grove Street, not 140 Grove Street where they lived.
No.
Steve Ritter.
Okay.
Steve
Ritter.
When
did he die, though?
Well, he died in late 2016.
Not early 2016.
No. Tracy Braun told us.
Oh, okay.
Ritter's wife, Teresa Lath Ritter. She's got a hyphenated name. She couldn't make a decision. Took over sole ownership of 148 Grove Street.
Trust anybody with a hyphenated name.
148 Grove Street. And while she became an infrequent resident, Braun said relations, not sexual, have been strained with others who have rented or otherwise frequented the building since. For meth, probably. Let's get real. What's after the dad, Steve Ritter, was alive, this was the perfect place to live. As soon as the poor man passed away, this place turned to craziness and chaos. The Bruns unsuccessfully tried to purchase 148 Grove Street property in one attempt to resolve their issues.
So they lived at 140, though.
Right. It was at 140. They tried to purchase 148 with Steve Ritter and then this hyphenated chick. The fence and the trees planted around it was the catalyst that allegedly drove an organic gardener to use a super soaker.
Let's go.
To stealthily spray Roundup on her neighbor's property in the middle of the night.
Oh, no.
I don't know what the Roundup did. It causes cancer. The property line dispute gained momentum in April.
Cancer.
Right. April. It doesn't say whether mid, late, early.
That makes all the difference, though.
Right, right. 148
Grove Street. 148th Grove Street.
Yeah. Right. Put down a load of wood chips
near
the previous established boundary, previously marked with the super soaker full of Roundup at 148 Grove Street.
Okay.
In order for a tractor to travel downhill, grade to the back of their lot. To climb up, to clean up, down tree limbs.
Yeah, it drove down to clean up.
Right. It drove down to clean up the down tree limbs that fell as a result
down the
super soaker full of Roundup next to the wood chips at 148.
At 148th.
And Mound. Steve Ritter's youngest son,
protruding out
at
140.
Blake now soon planted a stake in the ground. S-T-A-K-E. He didn't put a filet mignon down the ground where the chips had been placed.
I would have been okay with a filet.
Right. So they could know where the chips were placed in case somebody pulled it up.
Yeah. What did he say? What did he say, Robert? Down.
He said, this is our property.
Oh.
Get your stuff off it. So he had to call a land surveyor.
That's
the surveyor determined that the dividing line between the properties was in the center of 148 Grove Street. But belonged to 140 Grove Street and right through the middle of the garage, otherwise known as a garage.
Oh, man, right through the middle of it, huh?
Right. The day the surveyor came out and set the pins, the tenants were there, packed up, and moved out that night. Bruce Ouellette. Right. It's just when you think we're getting to the bottom of this, though we're not.
Yeah, those were the people that were at 148 Grove Street.
Right, 148 Grove Street with the wood chips. The salt lick and the whatever else that they had out there was found guilty of plowing over a portion of gravel road. This is something else. That story ended. It didn't even say they never even resolved it.
No, it says another surveyor came up. No, this is it. This is the same thing.
Yeah, that's it. So he's done. The surveyor came out, set the pins and tenants, and then they moved out. But it never said exactly like when he cut the building in half.
No, there's more, though. There's more.
No, that's the gravel road, Rob. That's over.
But
same. They're introducing new people, and they got me confused. I don't know who Bruce
Ouellette was. We got a new character.
Okay. He's 45.
Yeah, right, the character arcs, you know, in this.
There's a lot of detail in here. It's not needed. I'm going to rewrite this at some point. Was found guilty of plowing over a portion of gravel road. In a dispute with the Frenchville town officials.
Okay.
And that's what had me confused, because he has nothing to do with this building. He has nothing to do with the wood chips. He has nothing to do with a super soaker full of Roundup. He has nothing to do with the stake in the ground, but he's driving over a portion of gravel road in a dispute with somebody else for some reason.
And then just in case you were wondering how old he is, he's 45.
45, right. So yeah, he knows better.
That's important to know in the story, is how right. old he was.
Right. So the one surveyor came in and set up the pins, and then the people moved out, yeah. and then this guy drove over the gravel.
Yeah.
And then another surveyor came in. Yeah, he was 45. He came in with similar 45. Results.
Okay.
And then Brown said the younger Ritter asked if he could retrieve his father's ashes from the garage of 148 Grove Street because he was going to cut that shit in half and he didn't want them spilled anywhere.
Well, he's got to make sure the ashes are on the right side of the garage.
Right. And he said, please do. Because we want our property back. Yeah, we want our property back for 140 Grove Street and the part of 148 Grove Street that's over on our property on 140 Grove Street. We're gonna take it back. We're gonna reclaim it.
I wonder how many listeners we've lost.
We've been paying taxes for years for this part we weren't using because you had half of your garage on it. So he went over there.
He started the ashes too. I want the ashes. They were on my side.
Right. They cut those in half. He started throwing trash, Rob, all over the place, smashing glass and taking bureaus and throwing them outside in the yard. So all the furniture threw out in the yard. That's really okay. It's almost done. Thankfully, I'm getting tired.
Exercise equipment too. There's a lampshade. Is it elliptical?
Yeah.
Or a stair stopper. Elliptical is broken now.
Yeah. The next day, Gabriel Braun, okay, so he's a friend of theirs somehow. He works.
How old is he, though? It doesn't say how old he is.
Right. It doesn't say how old he is and who he's related to and whether he knows where the wood chips were. He works in construction, so he owns a Sawzall.
Oh, okay. I was wondering where they got that Sawzall.
Right. Now, you might think that somebody who has a Sawzall who's going to cut a garage in half might have done it haphazardly, Rob. But Gabe Brown, because he works in construction, he skillfully cut down half of the garage that was on his family's property and left the remains on the other side of the surveyor's line since that was their property. He didn't want to touch it.
Yeah, it's a very straight cut.
Right, very straight. Well, skillful. Yeah. He knows what he's doing. He works in construction.
It's true.
There's been a property line dispute for a couple of months, and obviously that was the result between Mr. Braun. I don't know his first name because this is Gabriel, and I don't know if he's the one that is the main Mr. Braun. And the owner of the other building on 148 Grove Street.
Does he know Bruce?
Right, 45.
Bruce 45.
Dover Foxcroft Police Chief Ryan Reardon said, no age given.
Oh, man, we got a new one, new character.
Yeah. And then in the middle of this, it says, thank you, BDN subscribers, advertising supporters who keep local news strong for Maine. And I want to find the strong story because this one's shit.
We're waiting for it.
Tracy Braun.
Oh,
who's friends of Gabriel Braun? Maybe they're
well, I think they're related, right?
Yeah, maybe they're husband and wife, with marital relations. Said no one has been at 148 Grove Street for the past couple of weeks. So they figured that was their time to go in and just cut the building in half skillfully. That's what I
would do. Skillfully,
right? And recently looked through the house's front window, revealed no furniture inside because they had already thrown it out in the yard.
They saw the ashes though.
Right, the ashes. The Braun's have installed a partial fence with cameras on their side of the 148 Grove Street driveway and plan to extend the divider to the brook at the rear of their lot. We're putting up a fence. Fences make good neighbors. Can't build a shed across it. And that's what we've learned from this. Neither Teresa Leith Ritter, who's now back in the story since she was at the beginning.
I thought she was dead.
Well, I thought
they killed their character off. I thought, but then apparently they brought her back.
Right,
it was like when Steve Carell left The Office, but at the last episode he came back.
Yeah, he had to come back. People knew he was still alive. And Braun said had not lived at 148 Grove Street since last summer, nor Blake Ritter. Again, he's the one that's screwing Gabe Braun, I think, but I don't know anymore. We're immediately available for comment.
Definitely a love triangle in here somewhere.
I'm so confused. We were aware of the situation. And believe it has been resolved at
they
this
have an
point,
open marriage.
Reardon said.
Person, woman, man, camera,
TV.
TV.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
Wrong.
Exactly. All right.
So that's it. If you understand that story, if you're involved in somehow, let me know.
If you also want to just type up a quick executive summary for me, I would also appreciate that. I need like... Like, what is it? A pictograph? What do they call it? Like,
In the office, they call it the...
Was it a rundown?
Oh, rundown. Yeah, right. Yeah, rundown. Oh, sure. I'll get that for you.
Yeah, because Charles Minor asked them for a rundown.
Yeah, of course. I'll get you a rundown.
I don't know what a rundown is. At this point, I'm too afraid to ask, says right. Jim.
No, he was in The Wire, and that's where I like him from.
Oh, God.
He was good at The Office, too.
I watched, like, the first half of the first episode of The Wire, and maybe I just wasn't in the mood for it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I struggle with, like, cop shows, though. Like, I just...
That could be tough. But there's... And Melissa has thought the same thing, because Madeline's a... she has been a Washington Football Club fan all her life, all 18 years, and now has decided that she's tired of the bullshit, she's tired of the losing, she's tired of everything going on. And then today it was funny, it's like, oh, you know, did you get your Washington Football Club jersey? So she said, forget it. So she said she's going to go to the Raiders. She wants to be a Ravens fan because they're the next closest team to here. And I said, well, you got to watch The Wire first. And Melissa goes, oh, that's real violent. But it's actually... It does have violence in there, but it's also it's very the characters are extremely good. It's very funny. Some of the main guys in there are good. McNulty is a trip, and a couple of the other guys in there, they'll just have you rolling.
Yeah,
season's very good. The second season was terrible, and then after it kind of picks up with that first season vibe after that. But yeah, great show. I started watching it again not too long ago, and then. I think we started watching something else, and I haven't gone back to it. So I need to go back. It's so well done. And anybody you ask, I mean, anybody that's seen it will. It's usually up there as the best show on TV. And I think we've talked about that back with Game of Thrones. That it's one of those that probably would challenge it for the best show if you kind of like stick with it and just see how everything unfolds. It's really well done.
Yeah,
I like one of the first ones that really set the stage for Game of Thrones and those like, type of shows.
I tend to, like, I have a rule, I'll give it three episodes, right? So I'll give it three episodes, because I think by three episodes, you can kind of, you have an idea of whether you're really going to like a show or whether you're just never going to get into it.
Yeah. But
again, I think I watched it, where did I watch? I think I was just, like, eating my lunch at work, and I've just been, like, eating my lunch in my office, because I don't want to go into any... Any area shared areas, including our lunchroom or anything that we have there. So and it's actually worked out because I can work through my lunch because that I need to do that these days. But I think the one day I did try to watch it, but then I think I was like half distracted and half not watching it, and I just did.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe I'll give it another shot. But anyway, we're gonna go to Roseville.
Oh, good.
Is it Roseville, Michigan?
Sacramento, California. It's a Sacramento CBS local, so probably. Alexa, where is Roseville, California?
Roseville, California is a city in Placer County, California. It is located 103.8 miles north of San Jose, California.
Yeah.
So this is there's a Roseville, Michigan that's not that far away. That's why I was confused.
Yeah, this is California then.
All right.
It's a CBS Sacramento, so that's Northern California.
See, I put it on reader mode because all the ads were bothering me. So anyway, I didn't see that part of it. But anyway, okay. Oh, I see sacramento.cbslocal.com. Okay, so we're going to California, Roseville, California. We're out, and I don't, did I send you the video? Maybe you sent me the video of the guy who was like trying to, he had gotten thrown out of a Verizon store.
Yeah, here in Virginia.
Yeah, and he was quite upset. And so he was threatening the Verizon employees and trying to literally
spitting on the door,
body slamming into the door, trying to get in and saying some inappropriate racial things to the employees. And then the police came and, but anyway, during a pandemic, you know, you got to have your phone, I guess. But anyway, this is, again, taking us to California. This is a little bit different situation where, so this is where a woman urinates on the floor after refusing to leave a Verizon store for not wearing a mask. So she went to the Verizon store not wearing a mask, refused to leave when they asked her to, and then pissed on the floor as we, you know, naturally we would. We've seen a lot of confrontations involving masks, including verbal fights, physical altercations, and even coughing fits. But this one might top it off. When a regular day at work turned into quite a show at the Verizon store off Galleria Boulevard in Roseville, in a 911 call, you hear a dispatch operator tell an officer three people are refusing to leave, not wearing a mask. They've asked several times and she refuses. About three minutes later, the operator tells the officer they're calling back and advising that the female is pulling down her pants and is now urinating inside the business. Absolutely not. That's totally inappropriate. We're not animals, said Michelle Davidson from 148. Roseville police got to the scene and confirmed the incident to CBS 13. Spokesperson Rob Pacera says officers arrested the woman after finding several stolen items from a nearby Dick's Sporting Goods inside her vehicle. So she was getting all sorts of trouble that day. She went to Dick's, stole some shit, put it in her car, went to the Verizon store not wearing a mask, and then at that point pulled her pants down and urinated on the floor. I don't really have much to say except that that's probably not the right way to react to it. Simply wear the mask or leave, I guess, said Kelly Berger. I'm very disappointed that we as a society choose to have this unity and let the virus divide us, said Davidson. Verizon spokesperson Heidi Flatto says the company is requiring all customers to wear masks in their stores. Flatto told CBS 13 the incident wasn't just about the company's mask policy, but wouldn't comment further about what happened. Oh, waiting for a race to start. Not sure what's going on.
I don't know what it did.
What you doing over there? Oh, this was a good one. I think I'm out of sitcom now.
With a laugh track.
Time for some penises, Robert.
Well, I take us to our friends here at TMZ. They're going to show us in Sin City. So I guess that'd be... And we just talked about going to Las Vegas. And I feel like this would be something we could probably get away with if we tried. But a man brazenly steals a 3-foot dildo and got caught on video.
When do you need a three... Never mind. I don't want to know.
I don't know, Rob. He's lonely. He's a real jaw-dropping crime, even in Sin City. A man making off with a humongous dildo without paying... And even though the whole caper is on camera, it might be tough to nail this guy, especially with a 3-foot donger.
It's very veiny.
We're told this, for your pleasure, Rob, we're told the suspect struck July 14th in broad daylight, and surveillance footage shows him calmly strolling into the Deja Vu Love Boutique in Las Vegas and walking out with a massive sex toy slung over his shoulder. I feel it's got to be a prop, right?
Can't hide that.
Is something that size really a sex toy, though, or is it just a prop? I mean,
it's a sex weapon,
right? I don't know that anybody's really using that. Yeah, it's just there.
That would
it's there for shits and giggles.
That'd kill anybody,
right? That's what I'm saying. We're told this. All right, so we already did that part. It's not your average dildo. It stands a whopping 3 foot tall, weighs in an impressive 40 pounds, and goes by the name Moby Dick.
Oh, so it's like
not quite Herman Melville had in mind, we're guessing, but you get the point. This suspect is packing big time. According to the police report, the guy, whose ID was concealed by a face mask, as he should be with the Rona, crammed the phallus into a white car similar to a Dodge Caliber and made a clean getaway.
How could it be similar to a Dodge Caliber? It would just be another car then.
Right? Similar to it, Rob.
But not exactly? Right. Is it a homemade car he making himself?
Paper mache.
This car's only missing one thing, 3-foot dick.
Right. It's a pretty lucrative haul. Moby goes for a cool $1,200 retail.
Wow.
That's one of those things where you get drunk from all those free rail drinks and you go over there and you buy it in the yard drinks, this big, tall, 3-foot tall margaritas and what's the other, pina coladas. It's good stuff. Deja Vu is now offering a cash reward for anyone with information leading to Moby Dick's return. Little incentive for all you amateur Ahabs out there. I feel like that's racist, but it's probably not meant to be.
I feel like $1,200 is kind of steep, too. I mean, if you think that the price per inch,
yeah,
36 inches over $1,200, like I feel like he overpaid.
Will they take it back if it's used?
I don't know. It depends how it was used, I guess.
Is there residue on it?
Oh, no. Did you have to say residue?
Oh, I didn't want to say if it was moist, Rob.
Oh, why is dildo so moist? Why is it sticky? It's sticky.
It's, I can't pick it up. It's real slippery.
All right. So, all right,
what, next one.
This is going to take us
going downhill fast.
Texas, where a woman whose tit is popping out in the picture, she quits. Woman quits job. She quit her job, Robert, to earn six figures a month acting as a dog on OnlyFans. Jenna Phillips. She's
doing different things these days for money.
Jenna Phillips was no relation, I should say, no relation to me. She got some nice boobs, though. From Texas, worked as an optician for 2 years while she posted vanilla content on her OnlyFans page before she introduced kinkier videos to her follower, and her followers surged. 21-year-old woman who quit her job to live like a dog full-time now pulls in over six figures a month. Jenna Phillips from Austin, Texas.
I do says, that.
Let me see here. Let me see if I can do some research. Jenna Phillips.
Is she related to you?
Fans. She's not. I've already talked about that. Let's see here.
You don't know. Insomniabilism.
Oh, boy. Jenna Phillips. Oh! Your puppy girl, Jenna.
Rap.
Let's see here. Your.
You're going to follow her?
Puppy. No,
on the gram and
OnlyFans, they charge monthly for that shit. I'm not fucked up enough to pay for that. I'm just looking for an image. Wait, here we go. Hold on 1 second.
She has a hashtag on the what is she doing there? She has a hashtag on the gram.
Let's see here. She was she worked as an she uses, okay. Jenna Phillips says she always felt like a dog growing up, but not in a sexual way at first. She used to pretend to be a puppy, rolling around, fetching balls, and loved getting praise like, good girl. During her 2 years as an optician, Jenny started an OnlyFans account where that's where sluts can put pictures and stuff, and people pay a monthly fee.
Right.
Which, by the way, I don't know from experience, where she posted vanilla content for the first 18 months. So I don't think there were tits and stuff in it. But it was only when she met two men in Chicago, who told her more about the pet play scene that she decided to learn more. It piqued her interest.
Yeah, it did.
Jenna explained, I feel like a dog. I just want to roll around, play fetch. Get head scratches, run around and play, suck penises, all of that. I've always acted like a puppy, but not in a sexual way at first. I used to pretend I was a puppy when I was growing up. I really love praise. I love hearing, good girl. It makes my heart melt every time. Looking back on it now, it's kind of always been there. I just didn't know there was a scene. I just thought it was my personality. Speaking of dogs, Finnegan, you good boy? It's right outside out of the office. When it comes to pet play, the majority of girls do kittens, foxes, or rabbits. Sloths. I do a sloth. And the majority of puppies are men, believe it or not. It's a male-dominated.
No surprise there.
It's a male-dominated industry. I thought about it for a long time when I first got into pet play. I feel like a dog, so that's what I decided to be. After 18 months of posting vanilla content to her OnlyFans account, sorry, she's not talking anymore, she started uploading kinkier pet play videos under the name That Puppy Girl. This is when her account really took off. She now charges her fans €16 or 20 per month to subscribe to her uncensored OnlyFans content where she chases after balls. Bet she does. Walks around on a lead and takes baths, often while naked. She added, there's been a big surge in my followers since I moved to doing puppy play content.
creepy ass bastards out there, Rob.
OnlyFans was just a hobby before, but I had been doing vanilla stuff, and I then realized there wasn't really a market for female puppies. Man, she's gonna fucking capitalize on this shit.
Might as well.
As you can see from the picture behind me. The majority of puppy community is for gay men. It's pretty gay. Whenever I went shopping for the gear, it was only really for men. I thought, screw it. Why don't I create the market? She's a fucking venture capitalist. I know there's a demand for it, so why don't I supply it? It's now my full-time job. My revenue has increased 100 times since I moved to Puppy Play content. I'm making 6 figures monthly. The majority of her revenue comes from people requesting custom videos, with one follower having paid almost €1,000 or $1,200 for a one-off piece of footage. I don't even want to know what $1,200, what the request was to have required $1,200 for her to
well, do euros, it. Rob. It's like 45 cents.
I don't think so. Jenna explained, I do custom videos, and the most I have charged for one video was $1,200. If somebody tells me what they want, I will give them a quote. The more kinky you want, the more it will cost. This is what I love to do most. I feel so grateful to make a living being paid doing something that I would be doing. Even if there was no money involved, she'd be doing this shit. My fans make my world. I'm so grateful for them. Boy, whilst Jenna, don't worry, we're not done yet. There's still quite a bit more story left. I'm going to read it all too. Whilst Jenna has always loved acting like a puppy, it was only when she met two men in Chicago who explained it to her that she really got involved. Jenna said, they explained it to me and I thought it was really cool, so I went to a meet up with them. I have made a lot of friends through the scene. It's been great so far. Men and women have been thanking me for representing the community on OnlyFans. And although she is willing to try a lot of things to fulfill her customers' needs, she has made it clear that there are some things that she just won't do. She said some of the requests are a bit too much. People have asked me to film with a real dog, and I can't say no quickly enough. Thank goodness. There are no animals involved in my filming and never will be. However, the star said that because she's very open-minded and fetish-friendly, she tries not to judge what people ask for, adding, I try probably to understand. Judge. I'm thinking so. I'm going to go and Jude. Adding, I try to understand where people are coming from with their kinks. A lot of people, I know a lot of people who would turn around to me and tell me my kink is crazy, so I try not to be judgmental. I love learning more about kinks, Jude mental. Too. Jude mental. It's my lifestyle 24/7. Jenna is single, that's a shocker, but works alongside the same man in all of her videos, and shares them on TikTok, too, with all the millennials. Jenna said, when I first started TikTok, there were a lot of pushback on my first videos. It didn't bother me personally because from a human being perspective or a dog perspective, I guess, I wasn't doing anything wrong. Even when I'm off camera in public, I love to be walked on a leash. Oh boy, I've never had any backlash in real life. It only ever happens online. The only time anyone has come up to us in person when we've been filming said, I don't know what you're doing, but it looks awesome, so keep it up. That was cool. Austin is a very progressive city for things like that, though, especially for Texas.
Oh, shit. That's a good story, Rob.
Oh, boy.
It's almost as good as the 148 Acre Street or whatever it was.
You said it so many times. I can't believe we don't remember the name of the roads now.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, shit. Our last story then.
That was weird.
We've had some strange stories today, and this is definitely the crazy, probably one of the craziest set of segments that we've had in crazy news history here.
Reminds me of Travelocity.
Yep. But a World News Daily report. It's going to be the the home of our final story here, where a 4'2" man was arrested for public lewdness after sex with a garden gnome.
Oh.
A Minnesota man was arrested this week after concerned Rochester residents noticed a naked man running around their neighborhood. Michael Manners, 37, was intercepted by Rochester police while under the influence of crack cocaine, crystal meth, after possibly ingesting glass cleaner.
Let's go.
Manners was found naked, passed out, and unconscious.
I'm trying to get rid of the COVID.
Well, authorities arrived on the scene, but eyewitnesses claimed the 4'2" man had been assaulting various domestic animals and even a plastic garden gnome.
Ooh.
I first thought there were two dogs having sex in my backyard, but then I realized a midget was having sex with my garden gnome, one local resident told reporters.
Oh, boy.
We were playing with the kids in the pool when this little naked person arrived out of nowhere with a garden gnome apparently stuck or attached to his penis. When traumatized stuck. Mother, yeah, probably. When traumatized mother told reporters.
Oh, good.
I mean, just going with the wet leaves, Robbie would have saved himself a lot of trouble.
Even an Olaf.
Yep. Several local residents reported to police that Manners was seen trying to sexually assault several pets before finally settling for the plastic garden gnome.
There's a clock on her head for just a second, though.
It's like your widget. I shot a video of the midget trying
That's the right time, though.
I'm not going to read this paragraph. Wait. It took several hours.
No, you got it. You have to read it. You have to read it. Read it now.
Person, woman, man, camera.
TV.
TV.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV. If he can read that, you can read this sentence here.
I can't.
You want me? Okay, I'll read it. All right, I got this. All right. Get a hold of yourself, Rob. I shot a video of the midget trying to sodomize my neighbor's cat. YouTube took it down after 30 minutes. Another anonymous eyewitness told local reporters.
Oh, my God.
There
it took
go.
Several hours. Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome.
Before our local police, I didn't think this went through. I would have let you go first. Where local police were able to locate Manners, who had found refuge and fell asleep in a local resident's doghouse. Oh, I got the hiccups. Before it was intercepted by Rochester police. Michael Manners faces multiple charges of indecency, public lewdness, and public intoxication, and could face up to 18 months in jail, according to legal experts.
Nice.
Oof. I felt that hiccup coming right as I was talking, and I had to get it out of there before I actually did it.
Thought it was two. He thought it was two dogs.
Yep. Well, shit.
Shouldn't fuck garden gnomes.
Yep.
Speaking of weird things happening to animals, I don't know if you heard about this one, but a man on drugs breaks into a pet shop and eats 10 pounds of dog food. Oh, man. 128-year-old man claims he's Adolf Hitler. Oh, and a man on crystal meth kills 12 neighbors thinking they're zombies. An old World News Daily report. It's good stuff.
Oh, I got a good one here. We'll save for next week.
Fantastic. There's so many good ones. Three Texas clowns accused of terrorist plot. Oh, we read that last time.
Yeah.
Hey.
We've covered that news before,
right? Covered it. Hard hitting.
It's practically
Hard
old.
Hard hitting. All right. Well, this has been great.
I don't know if I'd call it that, but it's done.
We got another episode. We got through the episode.
Yep. 134.
You never know what crazy knows. Crazy news. It's going to throw at you. Sorry, what were you saying?
Well, I was going to say, if you like the crazy news, or if you have any others like to submit to us, you can find us on all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast. We're also, we do have, and I don't have the right drop up, but I'll find it here.
Fail.
We do have a way that you can reach us by a telephone or fax or text.
Fax? You can send us a fax.
I'm sure you could send us a fax there.
Send us a facsimile.
Yeah, facsimile. on the fax machine, and we'll tell you about it here.
Yeah. I noticed that you had a phone number.
We sure do, elderly listener, and that phone number is 530-882-BOBS. That's 530-882-2627.
Now, did you ever find out what she wanted to talk to you about? Last week, yeah, I guess she got a new car and she wanted to talk to you.
She wanted me to tell her how to download CarPlay. I said, no, Mom. You just plug it in and a little message pops up on your phone asking you if it's okay that the car has access to the phone while the phone is locked.
Right.
And you say yes. And then it's good. She's like, yeah, but how do I download Waze? I said, do you have Waze installed on your phone? Yes. Perfect.
So I wanted it on my car.
Yeah, but I said exactly. But I copied and pasted an article I found online. It was either iMore or one of those websites of like, this is how you do CarPlay. And it's like, it's so easy. Just plug your fucking phone in. And so I copied and pasted into a text message and sent it to her. And she still was struggling with it. But I think she's hopefully, I haven't heard anything since. So I think she figured it out.
She hasn't gone really anywhere because she's afraid
just
now.
Just plug your phone in. Get a lightning cable. Plug one end into the USB port, plug the other one into your phone, and it does the rest. If you have the app installed on your phone and it's CarPlay compatible, it will show up on the CarPlay app on your infotainment system. So I think she figured it out, so that's good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, shit. Well, we may or may not see you next week, depending on what happens, but we'll do our best.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We can't make any promises. Clearly, we can't make any promises.
No more promises. No.
All right. No. All right.
We'll see you then.
See ya. Right, bye. This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. No words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com. Stop being a little bitch and just own up and do it.